The X-Zone radio and TV show is largely an opinion talk show. All opinions, comments, or statements of fact expressed by Rob McConnell's guests are strictly their own and are not to be construed as those of the X-Zone radio and TV show or in any manner endorsed by Rob McConnell, Relmar McConnell Media Company, Talkstar Radio Network, its affiliated stations, or employees.
All Hit Radio.
Welcome to the X Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
They say that you're a runaround lover. But if you put me down for another, I'll know, believe me, I'll know. 'Cause a night has a thousand eyes, and a thousand eyes can't help but see if you are true to me.
And welcome back to the X-Zone, everyone. My name is Rob McConnell, coming to you from our studio in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Worldwide toll-free, 1-800-610-7035. Email X-Zone at XZoneRadioTV.com. On MSN Messenger, XZoneRadioTV at Hotmail.com. And our website, www.XZoneRadioTV.com. X-Zone Nation, my guest this hour is Len Kasten. And Len is a New Age researcher and freelance writer. He has been involved in UFO ET research for over 25 years. He is a former member of the National Investigation Committee on Aerial Phenomena, NICAP, and the Mutual UFO Network, MUFON, and he is the president of the American Philosopher Society. He has been a feature writer for Atlantis Rising magazine for 14 years with 52 published articles, and he lives in Casa Grande, Arizona. And Len, I want to thank you very much for joining us tonight here on the X-Zone. Welcome.
My pleasure, Ron.
Tell me, Len, how did you first become interested in UFOs and ETs?
Well, I had an experience while I was in the Air Force that I think it got me into it, but it got buried in my subconscious. I didn't even realize it myself. I sighted a UFO from my barracks window in the Air Force, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, I ran to the window just in time to see it go by. And in fact, I pressed my face to the window and watched it disappear out over the Gulf of Mexico. And shortly thereafter, I got very sick with flu-like symptoms, which, as you may know, is a sure sign of being abducted.
Yeah.
So evidently, that's what happened. And that got buried in my mind. And next thing I knew, I was joining NICAP a few years later. And then MUFON, and I was obsessed with the subject from that point on.
How did you have any trace evidence of your abduction?
None whatsoever. But the next morning, the tower operators told me that I should go report it to the UFO office on the base. I had never heard of a UFO. I didn't know what it was.
Right.
And sure enough, I did find it, and there was a captain there with a multi-page questionnaire. So I knew this was serious. And he wasn't at all rocked by my estimates of the speed, which turned out to be about 18,000 miles an hour, roughly. That didn't faze him at all.
What year was this? In what year did this happen?
That was in the late 50s.
Wow. And whereabouts in the United States was this area, was this base where you actually saw the UFO?
That was at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida, northern Florida. It was about 1,000 feet away, and it was almost at eye level, and it was glowing gold, green phosphorescence, and silent.
Did anyone else on the base see the same sighting as you did?
Yeah, they had four UFOs on the radar that night, hovering over the end of the runway. That's what motivated me to go tell my story to the UFO office, because what I saw was coming from the end of the runway.
Linton, stand by. You and I have to take a 2-minute commercial break. We'll be right back. Exo Nation. Len Kasten is our special guest. He is the author of The Secret History of Extraterrestrials, Advanced Technology, and The Coming New Race. His website, www.et-secrethistory.com. That's www.et-secrethistory.com. My name is Rob McConnell. This is the X Zone. We're talking about UFOs and ETs this hour. And if you'd like to give us a call, toll free 1-800-610-7035. Email xzone at xzoneradiotv.com. On MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv@hotmail.com. And our website, www.xzoneradiotv.com. Len Kasten and I will be back on the other side of this 2-minute commercial break, continuing our conversation of UFOs and ETs here in the X Zone. Don't go away. With each new extreme weather event or terrorist act, it becomes increasingly obvious that we live in uncertain and challenging times. We all buy car insurance. Why not collapse and catastrophe insurance? Matthew Stein, an MIT-trained engineer and green builder, has written two outstanding books to help people prepare, plan for, and deal with everything from minor situations lasting a few days to full-on collapse. Matt's first book, When Technology Fails, is a manual for self-reliance, sustainable living, and surviving the long emergency. This massive book covers the gamut from first aid and emergency preparedness to alternative healing, renewable energy, primitive living skills, and 18th century technologies that could be critical to your comfort and survival in a long-lasting crisis. Matt's second book, When Disaster Strikes, is a comprehensive emergency preparedness handbook and survival guide. When Disaster Strikes is an essential item for every family's go bag. Both books are available at all usual sources. There's a wealth of totally free information posted at whentechfails.com, and author-signed copies may be purchased at mattstein.com. That's www.whentechfails.com and www.mattstein.com. Named one of the world's greatest psychics, Elizabeth Joyce is now giving readings worldwide via Skype. Elizabeth Joyce is recognized for her clairvoyant ability to help find missing persons, her analysis of dreams, past life regression work, mediumship, and her accurate predictions. Elizabeth has been a frequent guest on the X Zone radio show with yours truly, Rob McConnell, now for several years. For an appointment with Elizabeth Joyce, call 201-934-8986 or Skype at elizabeth.joyce. And for more information, you can always visit Elizabeth Joyce online at www.new-visions.com.
Have a disease that you would like to alleviate through a natural means? Have you been contacted by angels, ghosts, or even extraterrestrials and want to validate these experiences? Or would you simply like to speak with someone who can help you find your life's purpose? I'm Dr. Joseph Mara, and I'm offering my services free of charge for first-time clients contacting me during the month of April. These free consultations include angel card readings, guided meditations, life coaching, and energy healing. If you have always wanted to explore these types of experiences but were skeptical or simply could not afford them, then take advantage of this free special offer. Contact me through my website, aguidinglight, spelled LITE.com, to schedule your consultation today. Until then, I offer you love, light, and laughter.
Exonation, Len Kasten is our special guest. His website is www.et-secrethistory.com. And you know, Len, I was thinking during the commercial break, you know, here it is going back to 1958. You're on an Air Force base. You see a UFO at the end of the runway. You go and make a report, finding out that the air traffic center was actually, you know, targeting four UFOs. You go to a UFO office on base, and you're given this multiple-page questionnaire by a captain, and you start suffering with the flu-like symptoms that we've heard from other people who have had abduction experiences. Looking back to 1958, how does that make you feel? What do you think about when you think about that day? And have you had either sightings or contact with aliens since then?
Well, it took me a long time to realize what happened. It took years. But while I was in the Air Force, we were right near the beach, and we used to go out to the beach at night. Mm-hmm. And I would lay on the blanket looking up, and I could see them going out over the Gulf of Mexico, a lot of them. So it wasn't that unusual. You know, Eglin is an experimental Air Force base. And by the way, that's where the Jimmy Doolittle pilots were trained for their mission over Tokyo.
Now,
back in...
Is that anywhere near Gulf Breeze?
Yes, it is. Not far at all.
All right, because do you think there's a connection between your sightings and the Gulf Breeze sightings?
Could very well be. I'm not sure, but it's probably about 30 miles away. Hmm. We used to go to Gulf Breeze. We used to go to Pensacola
right.
for recreation. So, right near there, yeah.
What kind of questions were you answering in the questionnaire that the captain in the UFO office gave you?
Where did you first see it? Where did you see it disappear? How much time elapsed? What color was it? What sound did it make? All the stuff that you would expect.
Was this office part of Project Blue Book?
Undoubtedly it was, because 58 would have put it squarely right at that point, yes. So he was probably a Blue Book representative. That's my guess now, as I look back on it.
So tell me, once again, this event happened in 1958. Here we are in the year 2010. Is it your opinion that somehow it was your UFO experience that motivated your interest in metaphysics?
I have no doubt about it, because I became obsessed with metaphysics to the point where I would haunt the library at Virginia Beach, the Casey Library, which you may know is probably the second only to the Philosophical Research Society in L.A. It's a huge library, and that's all I did. I'd go there day after day and read whatever I could. So there must have been a connection, because while I had majored in psychology in college,
right.
This was kind of this could be a strange offshoot for me, so it wasn't expected.
Have you had experiences, sightings, missing time since 1958 when it comes to UFOs or ETs?
No, but several people that I know have. In Connecticut, while I was living in Connecticut, I knew several people. I knew a lot of the UFO people in Connecticut, Betty Andresen, Luca, Tony Gonzalez. There was a whole bunch of them there. John White, Larry Fawcett. we were sort of a little group there, and a lot of people were having those experiences, especially Betty Andreessen Luther, whom you may have heard of. She was the subject of the book The Andreessen Affair by Raymond Fowler.
During your research of the UFO ET phenomenon and the people that you met, is there a common thread? Were there any similarities in your psyche, in your physiological makeup? Was there similarities between your sightings?
Well, I'd have to say yes. There was a lot of missing time. Mm-hmm. My associates all reported missing time, and I began to see that as a common phenomenon in sighting. As for me, my experience, I woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so I would never do that normally. That would tell me that I had been awake earlier, and when I ran to the window to look out, I must have known what I was going to see. Why else would I have done that?
What did that UFO look like?
It was just phosphorescent, glowing orange, gold and green, and at night, and it was there was no shape that I could discern other than that.
Other members of the Air Force that were on the same base as you, did you share the experiences? Had other people had UFO experiences on the base?
Other than being directed to go to the UFO office, no.
No way.
I didn't. Needless to say, it was all top secret. I'm sure you realize that. And highly compartmentalized.
So tell me, how were you able to integrate the UFO phenomena into your metaphysical framework?
Well, looking back now, I see exactly what happened. I found myself voraciously gobbling book after book at the library, mm-hmm. the ARE, and I began to realize that the contactees in the 50s, the Adamski people, the Menger people, and the Tesla, they all talked about reincarnation and karma. Especially Adamski, he was told by Orthon that we all reincarnate. I think that's what triggered it. That's what got me going. And there was a connection. I could see that it was impossible to understand the phenomenon unless you understood the philosophy and behind it. They knew a lot more about our spiritual nature than I mm-hmm. did.
So do you think that these UFOs and the ETs, the occupants of these UFOs, are actually communicating with us or touching us at our very spiritual basis?
I think so, but don't forget that there are roughly 40 different species interacting with us. I think they cover the gamut, and some are good and helpful, some are not. They're not all of the same ilk.
What do you think their purpose is?
Well, from what I can understand from Robert Dean, have you heard of Robert O'Dean?
Sure.
From what I can understand, they have been studying us for thousands of years. It's clear that if they have the ability to get here, that they're going to look at us like a bug under a microscope. Why not?
Do you think that the governments of the world are suppressing this information? And if yes, why?
Absolutely. It's too complex for the public to digest because it touches on the whole energy problem. Because if we reveal the contact with UFOs, we'd have to reveal the technology. And the technology has the capability of ending our dependence on any kind of fossil fuel. And they don't want that. I think that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
There may be a lot more to it. I think there's also the fact that Eisenhower did come to the conclusion that some of them were hostile. In fact, Colonel Corso definitely came to that conclusion.
If they have the ability to traverse time and space, come here, there's 40 different species, as you stated a few moments ago. Why don't they make themselves known to the masses? Why is it only a certain selected group that actually has the contact experience or the sighting experience?
Well, I think there's two groups. I think there's one group that likes to be anonymous, doesn't want to be known.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they would probably be in the hostile category. The good guys, which they used to call the Space Brothers in the 50s, that contacted, they'd have to circumvent the suppression machine by going to individuals. That was the only way they could get through. So that's what happened. And they knew that these people that they were contacting would spread the word through radio and television, and that's what they were hoping for. So it depends. The other ones wouldn't want us to know because they had deals with the government, and those deals would have been violated if we had revealed their presence.
If there are groups of the aliens who want the public to know about it, why don't they just make a massive landing or do something that cannot be denied?
There's no point in it because probably 60% or 70% of the population would just go back to work the next morning and would go back to their worries about romance and money and health, and that would be it. So they have to accomplish a very complicated agenda, which I believe that's what they're trying to do. And it's a long-term agenda. And I think they are going to appear in mass very soon because that's part of their agenda. And it's a very old agenda, this revealing themselves to us. The plan goes back a long way.
Do you think they pose a threat to the safety of this planet?
Well, look, I think we've got two groups here. We do have good guys and bad guys. Mm-hmm. This is in my book. I made that point. I think the bad guys were lined up with Hitler and the Nazis. The good guys were lined up with us and with the Allies. And in my book, I do make the claim, which I believe is probably rather sensational, that there was a lot of interference in World War II. And so... in other words, the war in heaven came down to earth, is what happened.
So it's the historical fight between good and evil.
Well, you can look at it that way, yeah.
All right, stand by. You and I have to take our news break. Don't go away. Len Kasten is our guest, ExoNation, www.et-secrethistory.com. And Len is the author of The Secret History of Extraterrestrials, Advanced Technology, and the Coming New Race. My name is Rob McConnell. This is The X-Zone, a place where people dare to believe and dare to be heard Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. Eastern until 2 a.m. Eastern on the Talkstar Radio Network, X-Zone Broadcast Network, Star Cable, and X-Zone TV, and our fine family of broadcast affiliates around the world. 1-800-610-7035, worldwide toll-free. Email xzone at xzoneradiotv.com. On MSN Messenger, xzoneradiotv at hotmail.com. And my website, www.xzoneradiotv.com. Are you considering calling a psychic to read your situation? Then consider David Champion, a psychic medium for more than 20 years with thousands of readings under his belt. David Champion will make you feel comfortable. He has proven to be honest and accurate. He's a straight shooter. There's no guesswork. What he sees is what you get. While he is a medium, most of the calls focus on relationships, not only love, but work, school, neighbors, and more. Need help with finding a job and preparing for the interview? Are you dealing with people who are obstacles in your path? For more information, go to davidchampion.com, $1.50 per minute, paid by credit card, with a minimum of 30 minutes. For your reading with David Champion, call 1-877-702-8598. That's 1-877-702-8598. Now you can dial in to listen to the X-Zone Radio Show from anywhere in the world with Rob McConnell 24/7, 365 by dialing 213-401-0080. That's 213-401-0080. If you have a mobile phone or landline, the X-Zone Radio Show with Rob McConnell is now at your beck and call at 213-401-0080. That's 213-401-0080, 24/7, 365.
My name is Michael Telstar, Canada's leading mentalist from Toronto, Ontario.
Hi, my name is Splinda, and you're listening to my dad, Ron McConnell, on the XM.
This is Psychic Dorothy from St. Catharines, and you're listening to Rob McConnell.
Hello, my name is Holly Reeves, an astrologer from Astro4U, and you're listening to Canada's number one paranormal radio show, The X-Zone, with Rob McConnell.
Welcome to The X-Zone, a place where fact is fiction and fiction is reality. Now, here's your host, Rob McConnell.
Explanation, Len Kasten is our guest, www.et-secrethistory.com. And Len, first of all, thanks very much for joining us. Great having you with us.
It's my pleasure.
ETs, UFOs, it seems that more and more people are looking up to the skies these days. And why do you think so many people are interested in UFOs?
Well, to me, it's become clear, abundantly clear, because one of the chapters in my book is about science fiction film. Mm-hmm. And the enthusiasm about science fiction film has to do with the fact that at a deep level, we all know that we come from the stars. And it's at a deep level that's been masked all these years, but that's the only explanation for why we love these science fiction films. It makes us understand our origins, because I believe, came from somewhere else.
Do you think that there's a connection between the biblical stories of angels and Ezekiel's wheel to the UFO phenomenon that we're experiencing here in the 21st century?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, they had no other ways to express what they mm-hmm. saw, so they made up these stories about wheels in the sky. But I'm convinced that definitely was the case, yeah.
Why are they abducting people?
Well, you have to go back to Roswell. According to Philip Corso in his book, mm-hmm. The Day After Roswell, human body parts were found on the craft. So that told him and told the Army that this was not something we wanted to just greet them with open arms. We have a whole new situation here. And Corso in his book says that on that morning of July 7th, we harvested them before they could harvest us. That was what he said in the book. So he believed right to the end they were hostile.
Do you really believe that the incident in Roswell, New Mexico happened and it had nothing to do with any of the other theories, including Project Mogul?
Oh, it happened for sure. There are videos out there by Ed Mitchell telling everybody that it happened. And he's from Roswell. And if he's not an authoritative voice on the subject, I don't know who would be.
But how come there hasn't been any proof that's surfaced that has not come forward, that mainstream media has not jumped all over it?
Well, Larry King talks about it a lot. I think Larry King has had 5 or 6 programs dedicated to Roswell.
Well, yeah, he's had programs dedicated, but still, there's never a smoking gun.
Well, the smoking gun was the autopsy film. There were a lot of individual things that were clearly pointed to it happening, and the testimony of nurses and people who saw the bodies coming into the hospital. It just all gets suppressed. The government has a way of just mixing it all up and giving everything a black eye. They're very effective at that. They know how to do it.
All right, but the alien autopsy film, that was proven to be a hoax.
No, it wasn't proven.
Saying,
it wasn't proven.
Sure
it was. They would want us to believe it was a hoax.
We're talking about the one by Ray Santilli, the one that he brought forward? Yeah, well, that was exposed years ago as a hoax.
There's a chapter in my book about Linda Moulton Howe.
Mm-hmm.
She was in touch with a photographer named J.B., who admitted that he photographed three dissections in July of that year. One was in Roswell, and one was out in Plains of St. Augustine. There's plenty of evidence. You just have to look for it. That's all.
But how do we know that this evidence is really being suppressed and it's not being concocted by members of the UFO community to keep something alive that puts a lot of cash into a lot of people's pockets? You know, there's two sides to the sword.
The people that I know involved in this research are all sincere, dedicated individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's my judgment of them.
There are a few
ponies, but that's my estimate. People like Stanford Friedman and Linda Moulton Howe and Jim Mars, these people are looking for the truth. They're searching for the truth. And Richard Dolan, I have tremendous respect for these people and what they're doing.
Why?
I know them personally, and I just know that they have integrity. You know this about people, and that's my judgment.
I've had the pleasure of talking to Stanton Friedman a number of times, Jim Mars a number of times, and yet with all the research that these people do, no smoking gun.
Well, what would you call a smoking gun?
Physical evidence that could not be denied.
Well, you know, it's so easy to obfuscate. The government is so good at this. There are three rules for the government. One is to obfuscate, one is to deny, and one is to disinform. Linda had that in a document she got from Richard Doty. This is what they do. They're very good at it.
Yes, and so are the
things just die a natural death, you know?
Yeah, but so are the people in the UFO UFO field in spinning their own tails. Like, you know, it seems that people are yelling government conspiracy and government cover-up, you see, and there's two ways of looking at it, and everybody looks at the government side instead of also looking at the side that the conspiracy could actually be perpetrated by the UFO community, because as long as they scream government cover-up, government conspiracy, any proof that they cannot find, they say, well, the government's confiscated it, the government has it, we can't get it, we can't get the proof. So the legend lives on.
You're assuming that there's a lot of collusion among these people. Most of them don't even know each other. They do independent research. Bill Ryan, who does Operation Camelot.
Yeah.
Richard Dolan has written four huge books on the subject, and he's a very respected researcher.
But once again, all the books that are written are based on hearsay evidence. It's based on a hypothesis. It's based on folklore. It's based on legend, not fact. Why can't somebody come up with a dead alien somewhere and say, look, here we are. Here's a dead one. Now do you believe me? Or why don't they get that all-important photograph that can't be investigated and computer check to see it's nothing else but a hoax or a mock-up picture or CGI. Why can't...
Well, would you believe Colonel Corso's rendition? Is he expected enough that you would believe him?
I don't believe anybody until I see the proof.
Well, he saw the alien bodies and...
But did you?
He was a dedicated... No, I didn't. Of course not.
Do you believe that he saw them?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because the man has such tremendous respect. He was in the Air Force. He was working under General Trudeau for many, many years. He had no axe to grind in this.
Well,
he wandered out before he died. He died shortly after the book was released.
Why didn't he come forward sooner?
Well, these guys were all under very, very stringent security oaths. I think you know that. And Jesse Marcel, who was at the center of the Roswell incident, it took him 30 years before he would talk about it to Stanton Friedman. 30 years. This was a man who was known to be extremely reliable when it came to secrecy. He had been involved in operations Crossroads in the Pacific prior to this, and the generals knew they could trust him to keep people in on it. And so he did. But finally, before he died, like so many others, mm-hmm. it came forward.
Do you believe this story that Jesse Marcel told about the Roswell incident?
Yes, I do.
Then answer
it. His son verified it.
Oh, well, then help me understand something here that has been bothering me from day one. And doing this show for 20 years with over 3,000 interviews, no one has been able to answer this question. If Jesse Marcel was such a good officer, such a dedicated officer, why did he, instead of going directly to the Air Force base after retrieving alleged UFO parts, break the chain of custody, break the evidentiary chain by stopping off at his house on the way back to the base to show his wife and son what he found?
Theory on that is this. I have it in my book, by the way. I interviewed his son.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what he did was he sat down and he copied the hieroglyphics that he found for later use.
But why did he not do that in his office on the base? Why did he break the chain of command, which, according to the members of the military that I have spoken to, without mentioning this specific case, nullifies any of the testimony that this soldier would have made? His credibility is shot, gone, zip, zap. And yet everyone, when it comes to Roswell, takes this as credible, even though he broke the chain of evidence.
Well, he broke it only in the sense that he revealed it to his wife and son. Is that what you mean?
Well, instead of going from point A to point, that would just be like a police officer who goes on a homicide investigation decides to take the gun home or the knife home and show his kid and his wife, let them handle it, and then go to the police station and log it in as evidence. The chain of custody has been broken.
You know, some subjects are so big. This was one of them. And he knew that there was history involved here. And that's why he did it. And after all, Colonel House told him to report it as a UFO. So he felt that he was not really... felt he was doing what he needed to do for history.
Oh, by breaking the rules and regulations of the United States government because he thought that this was going to be of historical significance, that gave him the right as a member of the military under oath to break the law, to break the rules, and just because it's...
I'm not sure that any secrecy was imposed on him at that point.
Well, he was a member of the United...
All he did was obey the orders to go out and gather the debris and bring it over to the base.
I don't think
anybody perhaps told him that it was top secret.
Did anybody tell him to... Is it a common occurrence within the United States Army, Air Force, to go get debris, bring it home, and then go back to the base? Why didn't he just go back to the base after collecting the debris?
And as I said, as a witness to history, he at least wanted two witnesses. That would be his wife and his son, two people who he knew would never reveal anything.
Well, isn't that called collusion?
You might call it that. He kept quiet for 30 years after that.
So why did he decide to talk? How much money did he make from
that? You'd have to ask Stanton Friedman that, because Stanton Friedman was able to get the interview. And my feeling is that he just felt that he was going to die soon, like the others, mm-hmm. and wanted it out. He felt it was important enough for humanity to do this.
Okay,
that's my opinion.
So just because he thought it was important for humanity, that gave him the right to do something that is, in the eyes of the military, wrong.
I don't think he viewed it that way, because he knew his son and his wife would keep quiet, so he didn't think there was any danger there.
You know, he could have very easily taken the debris, taken pictures of it somewhere. He didn't have to bring it home. And you see, this to me puts a big question mark on number one, his integrity, his honesty, his loyalty. Because if this is how he acted, then in my opinion, he wasn't a very good soldier.
Well, you know, he had already taken some of this debris and tried to crush it, and he realized it had incredible characteristics. They shot a bullet at it, a 30-06 bullet at it, and it, while it was in the air, it didn't even dent it. So he had seen that, and he knew that this was something very unusual. And he felt that as a witness to history, he wanted to have backup for this story. And I'm glad he did.
But there is no backup for it. There is nothing here because there is no evidence to support his claims. So it's his word. It's his word.
Son writing his book.
Listen, that doesn't mean it's real.
Well, you know, you have to agree to what convinces someone and what doesn't. You know,
proof.
This whole business of UFO is a very surreal game, and it's all a game of reputation. You either establish a reputation for integrity or you do not. Many of the UFO people are known to be disinformers, and everyone knows it. They're known to be liars.
All right,
you have to establish who's who and what's what.
And I guess it all depends on what side of the ball or the side of the fence you're playing on, whether you're a believer or a skeptic. I'll be back on the other side of this commercial break as the X-Zone continues from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. Don't go away. With each new extreme weather event or terrorist act, it becomes increasingly obvious that we live in uncertain and challenging times. We all buy car insurance. Why not collapse and catastrophe insurance? Matthew Stein, an MIT-trained engineer and green builder, has written two outstanding books to help people prepare, plan for, and deal with everything from minor situations lasting a few days to full-on collapse. Matt's first book, When Technology Fails, is a manual for self-reliance, sustainable living, and surviving the long emergency. This massive book covers the gamut from first aid and emergency preparedness to alternative healing, renewable energy, primitive living skills, and 18th century technologies that could be critical to your comfort and survival in a long-lasting crisis. Matt's second book, When Disaster Strikes, is a comprehensive emergency preparedness handbook and survival guide. When Disaster Strikes is an essential item for every family's go bag. Both books are available at all usual sources. There's a wealth of totally free information posted at whentechfails.com, and author signed copies may be purchased at mattstein.com. That's www.whentechfails.com and www.mattstein.com. Rob McConnell here, presenting an overview for Nicholas Paul Jennings, author of a fascinating book, Amen. It presents facts revealed by Egyptologists, facts that enable us to understand why Amen is the beginning of creation of God. It provides recommendations for religious leaders of the major religions to unify their beliefs and teach the word of God, love one another. Amen informs people how mankind conceived God. It was the Egyptians that developed the concepts of a soul, a hereafter, and son of God. And finally, after the worship of many gods, they conceived the belief in one universal God, the maker of all there is. For more information, visit www.futureofgodamen.com. That's www.futureofgodamen.com. Let's go!
truck swirling down the street. The brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat. Yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey, I'm gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Len, how would you try to convince someone like myself who is skeptical because there are so many people talking about UFOs being real, but there's no physical evidence. No one can bring anything to mainstream media or to members of the scientific community or anyone else. And it's come to the point where people just don't believe in them anymore. Listen, Len, we've got to say so long for tonight. We've run out of time. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Continued success. And I guess the only thing we can do is keep on keeping our eyes to the sky. Because, you know, I really don't believe it. I really don't believe it. There is no evidence. And you know what? Over the past, what's it been? Nearly an hour? I'm not convinced. I'm really not convinced that, based on what you've told me, that aliens are real. We've got all this hearsay. We've got these different members of the military who are coming out saying these things that they cannot prove. And I'll tell you something. It scares me to know that they are willing to break their oath just to try and get their 5 minutes of fame with the media. And as you can see, it's not working because mainstream media doesn't carry these UFO stories anymore because there's so much deception, dishonesty, and disinformation coming from the UFO community. And I truly believe that the people responsible for the conspiracy and the cover-up of the UFO case is not the government. Is not the governments of the world. It is the UFO community itself. Because once the information comes out, or even if it wasn't to come out, that, you know, let's say President Obama called a press conference tomorrow, all the media shows up, and he says, listen, this is the truth. There are no UFOs. The UFO community would not believe him. Because once they accept that there are no UFOs, the UFO community needs the government conspiracy angle to keep their game alive. My name is Rob McConnell. This is The X Zone. I'll be back on the other side of this news break at 6:30 past the hour as we continue live and around the world from our studios in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada. And yes, as you can tell, another one bit the dust. Ah, when will they learn? Don't come on the radio if you're not prepared. It's that simple. I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Let's go! Walks merrily down the street with the brim pool way down low. Ain't no sound but the sound of speed. Machine guns ready to go. Are you ready? Hey, are you ready for this? Are you hanging on the edge of your seat? Out of the doorway, the bullets rip to the sound of the beat. Yeah. Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another.